The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
A listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF. And this is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday afternoon, October 10th, 2018. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead this hour, the $36 million investment in the Arkansas Promise. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich gives us an update. And after today's Ozarks at Large on NPR's Here and Now, another update. Julie Paez was hit twice during the 2015 workplace shooting in San Bernardino, California. Nearly 3 years later, we check in to see how she's doing. Here and Now, today at 1 on 91.3. How much do you know about water? Tonight, you can show off your H2O knowledge at a special water trivia night at Ozark Beer Company in Rogers. The Beaver Water District is co-sponsoring tonight's contest beginning at 6:30 at the Ozark Beer location at 109 North Arkansas Street in Rogers. Prizes for first, second, and third place winning teams include No Water, No Beer t-shirts, pint glasses, and can koozies from the American Water Works Association. The trivia tonight is part of an observation of the Imagine a Day Without Water campaign. According to the Arkansas Department of Health, the natural state ranked number one in the nation in 2016 for highest heart attack death rate, with 2,922 deaths. Last month, the ADH launched the Arkansas Heart Attack Registry in an effort to reduce the impact of heart attacks in the state. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
Being number one isn't always a good thing. That's what Greg Brown, ADH Branch Chief of Trauma, Preparedness, and STEMI, says.
I think the thing that kind of raised the alarm was, you know, when all of a sudden, you know, you carry the gold medal for stroke deaths or STEMI deaths in the country, it gives you pause because you know that you can address that. You know that you can impact it, but it's going to take an entire system of people all looking at the same information to make that leap. And because it's a heavy lift when you're talking about reducing heart attack deaths, because there's a lot of comorbid factors. I mean, we have obesity, we have diabetes, and we have a lot of other things within the state that play into heart attack death and also stroke death as well.
STEMI, short for ST elevation myocardial infarction, is a serious type of heart attack that occurs when a major artery is blocked. Brown says the goal of the new Arkansas Heart Attack Registry is to collect data that can be analyzed in order to provide suggested best practices to hospitals and EMS providers. One factor being monitored is time.
Time from, let's say, when the EMS providers made contact with the patient, what interventions were done, how long did it take to get to the hospital, how long did it take from the time they arrived at the hospital to get the first treatment, whatever that happens to be. And in this case, for heart attack, for those patients that are having a true heart attack or a STEMI, the goal is to really get them straight to the cath lab from the ambulance without stopping in the emergency department.
According to the American Heart Association, someone in the United States has a heart attack every 40 seconds. From 2006 to 2016, the number of heart attack deaths in Arkansas fluctuated between 2,500 and 3,100. That's according to death certificate data provided by the state health department. Brown says Arkansas has to step back as a system and look at overall care.
It's not that hospitals are providing poor care. That's not it. It's how do we streamline care for our heart attack patients based upon national models? For example, if it's shown nationally, if you can reduce the time from onset to the time to the cath lab, that your mortality rates drop by X percent, then what we want to do as a state is let's have hospitals submit all of this data into the registry, and then we can look at where those gaps that need to be improved are and why they exist.
For example, if a hospital would like to get to patients 15 minutes sooner, Brown says they can look at what hospitals can do to meet that goal. He says a lot of it comes down to logistics, and getting the hospital more information before a patient arrives is one of the most important things.
We really promote in our EMS community that if you pick up a patient that is having a heart attack, we will do what we call a 12-lead EKG. It's just a very in-depth diagnostic tool. The quicker that you can transmit that to the hospital, whether it be through wireless modems in your ambulance, whether it be through a photo captured of the 12-lead and get it to the cardiologist at the hospital, if they have a 15 or 20-minute lead time before the patient arrives, they can make a determination that this patient does not need to stop in the emergency room. We know exactly what's wrong with them. Let's go straight to the cath lab. That saves that patient 10, 15, 20 minutes in the emergency department.
23 hospitals have joined the registry, including Washington Regional Medical Center, as well as Mercy Hospital in Fort Smith in Northwest Arkansas. Lindsay Abney, Chest Pain Center Coordinator at Mercy Northwest Arkansas, says she's pleased with the statewide partnership.
It's so positive that the state, all of the hospitals, have teamed up together, no matter where you are in the state. We're very fortunate in the Northwest corner that we are as populated as we are, that we have the resources that we do. A lot of the state is not as populated and don't have the resources that we do in this area. And it's going to be very eye-opening, I think, when we see the data.
Because not all Arkansas hospitals are qualified to care for heart attack patients, Lance Weathers, an interventional cardiologist at Mercy, says geography has a big impact on care.
If you live east of Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, the corridor, the 49 corridor, if you live east of there, the first place you can get taken care of is Mountain Home. And so if you look at that from a perspective of care, there's got to be 10, 15 counties in there that are not getting taken care of on a per-minute basis. So, you know, helicopter traffic and things like that have to go pick these folks up.
Time is an important data point for heart attacks because the quicker patients can be treated, the less damage their heart will incur. Abney and Weathers are both hopeful good data will lead to better treatment.
To try to come up with where
better
it is that
outcomes.
Where can we help? What is it that we can affect directly and indirectly in order to try to make Arkansas a healthier place to live from a heart standpoint?
There is an approximately $4,000 fee associated with participating in the registry, but Greg Brown with the Arkansas Department of Health says ADH is covering that cost for any hospital that wants to join the registry. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And ahead on the show, how colleges across Arkansas are preparing for the next flu season.
The most common reason we found that college students didn't get the flu shot was that simply they felt as though they were healthy and didn't need it.
After a particularly dangerous flu season in the state last year, Arkansas colleges and universities are working further ahead this season. That story later on this edition of Ozarks at Large.
The Coleman Ozark 11th Annual Swing for the Cure Golf Classic is October 12th at Shadow Valley Country Club in Rogers. This 18-hole scramble tournament offers morning and afternoon flights, lunch, prizes, and more. Proceeds to benefit Susan G. Komen Ozark. More available at komenozark.org or 750-PINK. SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, presents its 64th season beginning November 3rd at Walton Arts Center. The seven-concert season features classical masterworks programs, a Christmas Pops performance, and a special concert for families, all performed by a full orchestra under the baton of Maestro Paul Haas. Tickets and subscriptions at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. 91.3 is supported by Butterfield Trail Village, a premier Northwest Arkansas retirement community catering to active lifestyles and resident well-being. Offering a variety of amenities and living options from apartments to village homes, plus on-site fitness facilities. ButterfieldTrailVillage.org for more.
This is Ozarks at Large. 5 years ago, Arkansas was selected among 11 states to participate in a federally funded project to evaluate ways to improve life outcomes for young teens with disabilities receiving Social Security benefits. Called Arkansas Promise, the $36 million project was facilitated by the University of Arkansas College of Education and Health Professions and the Arkansas Department of Education. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the project wrapped up in September.
As a kid, Ronnie Trey Alexander, a resident of Jonesboro, wanted to go to college, but it was a real struggle, he says, given his disability.
It's ADHD. It's like harder for me to concentrate on certain things.
Alexander sits under a shade tree this afternoon in front of Mullins Library on the University of Arkansas campus, where he's a newly enrolled freshman. He says he's taking 15 credit hours trying to get his B's to A's because he plans to go to med school.
Orthopedic surgeon, that's what my current track is to be.
Alexander credits a U of A scholarship, an accelerated college entry program, and his participation in a statewide experiment called Arkansas Promise for giving him a leg up.
I was impressed with it because it like helped me mature at a faster rate and like helped our family if we like struggled.
Arkansas was one of five states, along with a consortium of six states, in September of 2013, awarded more than $200 million in grants under a joint initiative of the U.S. Department of Education, the Social Security Administration, and the U.S. Departments of Health and Human Services and Labor to fund and evaluate employment, education, and life skills test programs for teens ages 14 to 16 with disabilities, including their families, under a program called PROMISE. The University of Arkansas College of Education and Health Professions and the Arkansas Department of Education responded to the request for proposals and was awarded nearly $36 million to develop and deploy a PROMISE experiment here, says State Director Philip Adams.
So all total, we recruited 2,000 participants into the research project. 1,027, I believe, were assigned to the treatment group, and the other 973 were assigned to the control group.
The control group received no direct PROMISE services, but participants were provided resource contacts. Adams says a list of eligible Arkansas teens was provided by the Social Security Administration. The 1,027 teens in the treatment group were provided hundreds of hours of paid summer work experience, along with intensive support services.
PROMISE participants have a wide variety of disabilities. The Social Security Administration has more than 20 categories for disability eligibility. We ended up with many participants with physical disabilities, intellectual disabilities, developmental delays, as well as severe behavioral disabilities.
The teens and their families received intensive case management, exposure to career and workplace learning experiences, monthly health and wellness training, and benefits counseling.
And a summer camp in which a number of students came to the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith to live in the dorms, take classes, and participate in recreation activities.
Federal disability data show that nearly one-third of teenage Social Security recipients drop out of high school. 43% experience school suspension or expulsion. The teens are also less likely to pursue employment, college, or vo-tech school, or engage with service programs. As a consequence, they end up with higher rates of arrests. Of the 1,027 Arkansas PROMISE teens, 330 have graduated from high school, and 508 are on track to graduate, Adams says. And all of them were offered summer job experiences.
To facilitate the summer work experiences for the participants, local workforce development boards were engaged through contracts with the university. Those boards have existing relationships with employers in their communities.
More than 350 PROMISE project employers were strategically matched to teens with certain work interests. Adams says many had never hired youth with disabilities before, including retailers, restaurants, professional offices, recreation facilities, landscape firms, child care centers, even art and music studios. Employers were provided cash incentives under the PROMISE program, he says.
Work experience was a subsidized work experience for employers. They received the employee, the PROMISE participant. Workforce development boards paid the wages directly to the youth and were reimbursed by the university.
Key PROMISE project partners include Arkansas Rehabilitation Services, Sources for Community Independent Living Services, The U of A Center for Utilization of Rehabilitation Resources and the University of Arkansas Partners for Inclusive Communities. Now, another less stated goal of the Arkansas Promise is to reduce dependence by individuals with disabilities on the DOL, Social Security benefits.
What is the DOL for? The DOL is intended to improve quality of life. Arkansas Promise's primary goal is to improve the quality of life for Arkansans who live with disabilities. The ways in which we have focused on making that happen are through improved education and improved employment. That should result in a reduced reliance on SSI and other public benefits.
Promise data is being processed by the independent policy research firm Mathematica, with final results expected before 2022. But early data, Adam says, show the project worked.
During our recruitment effort, you assume that only 25% of the people that you contact are actually going to enroll in the project. And from there, only about 25% are actually going to engage in services. Arkansas Promise saw 92% of the people who enrolled in the program actually engage in service. That is fantastic.
Adams says when interest among certain teens in the project dwindled, project retention teams were on call to re-engage them.
It's been a really heavy lift to keep people engaged for 5 years in anything, much less Arkansas Promise.
Doing that heavy lifting involved a team of regional directors, retention and engagement staff, and 50 connectors, individuals who worked directly with teens ages 14 to 16. Denise Alloway was a Phillips County connector, assigned 16 teens.
I would send out text messages. I would give them phone calls. I would put flyers on their vehicles, on their doors, just to remind them of the upcoming trainings and things that we had, to let them know that I was coming for a home visit. We built a relationship.
Alloway, a longtime disability services professional, says working on the Promise Project was life-changing.
I almost get in tears when I tell people about my experience with Promise. This has been the best and most rewarding job that I have had in my career.
One of Alloway's recruits is John Harris. Now 20, he suffered a traumatic brain injury as a toddler in a car accident. Oscar Hoskins, director of the Helena West Helena Public Works Streets Division, first hired Harris as a summer temp.
He was a very hard worker, very energetic, and he stood out above the rest of it.
John Harris is now employed full-time by the Public Works Division.
I work for the street and sanitation department. I'm on a street team.
Harris says he prefers to work outdoors, is pleased with his new career, as well as his Promise experience.
They taught us how to interact with one another, how to handle our problems without violence They taught us how to survive in the real world.
Harris's mom, Shalonda Graham of West Helena, praises her son's Promise experience.
He's continued to stay focused, and he said, "Mama, I'm going to get that job." And I was like, "Baby, all you got to do is stay focused and pray, and God will bless you with that job." He put his application in. John been working with the city of Helena, West Helena, for almost a year now.
Graham says due to Arkansas Promise, her son now has an apartment close by. And with help from former connector Denise Alloway, he's saving up money to buy his first car.
Arkansas Promise will take you step by step by step in life to get you where you're going.
According to agency data, children with disabilities receiving Social Security benefits numbers have doubled since 2000. Last count, more than 8 million Americans received benefit payments totaling just under $4.6 billion. More than 1.3 million are children under age 18. And without any intervention, 60% will remain on the dole as adults, according to the Center for Studying Disability Policy. Again, Promise Director Philip Adams.
Arkansas Promise's primary goal is to improve the quality of life for Arkansans who live with disabilities. That should result in a reduced reliance on SSI and other public benefits.
Brent Thomas Williams, an associate professor in the University of Arkansas's Rehab Counselor Education Program, is Arkansas Promise Principal Investigator. He says the work component to the project was key.
Different from the other models, we really looked at paid work experience. We wanted all of our folks to have two 200-hour paid work experiences. Most of the other projects usually did one or did some other internships. All other projects like us did education and intensive case management. But I think we really stood out with our really intensive, both in amount and in longevity of paid work experiences.
William says federal policy changes could be a result of the promised demonstration project.
Hopefully that ends up being realized in policy and legislative change that shows that if you want to recoup savings from Social Security, you have to do more of an intensive approach up front to realize those lifespan-based savings.
Arkansas Promise, William says, is the largest social science research project ever undertaken in this state. And the Social Security Administration, he says, will continue to track Arkansas Promise participants' progress over the next 15 years. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You can find out more at promiseAR.org and also at our website, ozarksatlarge.com. This weekend, the Fine Times at Our House weekend returns to Mount Sequoia in Fayetteville. The three-day affair is devoted to the scholarship and enjoyment of traditional dance, music, and song. Like last year's weekend, this year's includes workshops dedicated to fiddle playing, ballad singing, square dancing, and more. Pete Howard, a fiddler who will be teaching and performing this weekend, says, "Don't let the term old-time music fool you. There is plenty of room for new discovery."
Well, I think that it's so old that it's new, is my theory on it. For a lot of people that have been doing it for years, they may know one aspect of it. They may know a lot about English dances and Scottish dances. And then those folks show up and they also learn Ozark square dances, or flip that equation and they do that. Or these are some lost arts as well, like ballad singing is, we talk about it, but not a lot of people are doing it, you know, except for a few people. So when you get people that hear about it and like, oh, I can actually take a workshop in ballad singing and learning and learn about it and learn about the resources of, you know, that are out there, like the Parlor Collection at the U of A and recordings of Almeda Riddle, etc. There's all kinds of stuff there.
Steve Green, a regular square dance caller, is one of the organizers of the Fine Times at Our House weekend event, and he says the music and dance celebrated at Mount Sequoia this weekend has remained with us for so long for a reason.
Because there was a common theme and a common reaction from generation to generation, and that's still true now. The musical forms, the song forms, the dance forms, they're both accessible and they do have some connection to the brainstem. And so it's like the golden oldies that are older yet, which doesn't make them any less valid. And then with top musicians, they still interpret them. So there's something there for the gifted as well as the beginner.
Late last month, Pete Howard on his fiddle, guitarist Aviva Stegmeyer, and Steve Green, with his feet as percussion, played a tune for us in the Furman Garner Performance Studio as a preview to the Fine Times at Our House weekend. Aviva Stegmeyer guitar, Pete Howard fiddle, and Steve Green percussion in the Furman Garner Performance Studio late last month. The Fine Times at Our House weekend begins with a concert open to the public Friday night at Mount Sequoia. A complete schedule, bios of musicians and workshop teachers, and costs can be found at nwacontra.org, nwacontra.org. And we'll hear a ballad from that recording session late last month and more about the weekend on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks Electric Cooperative has changed a lot in 80 years, but the mission of providing power has not. Ozarks serves more than 75,000 meters in northwest Arkansas and northeast Oklahoma, plus supply energy solutions, bringing progress to the region. Owned by those served, OzarksECC.com for more. 91.3 is supported by the Walmart Museum, located on the Bentonville Square, presenting the Walton's Five and Dime Sock Hop, October 12th, 5 to 8 p.m. This family-friendly free event includes a 50s dance with costumes encouraged, classic cars, and more. WalmartMuseum.com under events for information.
It's Wednesday, and it's time to talk live music opportunities. To help me do that in his studio, the Harold Blanchcock News Studio, is Timothy Dennis. Timothy, how are you?
I am wonderful, Kyle. How are you?
Fine. Let's talk music.
Okay. So starting tomorrow, Hillbury is taking place throughout the weekend.
The
annual at the farm in Eureka Springs. This year's festival includes the Wood Brothers, Railroad Earth, the Sam Bush Band, Trampled by Turtles, Split Lip Rayfield, Arkansas, and too many people to name. A lot of really good regional and touring acts.
This is 4 days, right?
4 days, Thursday through Sunday. Tickets range from $60 for the one-day Sunday-only pass all the way up to $180 for the four-day pass.
Which is not too bad, actually. Not too bad at all.
Considering the lineup, it's a really good deal. Again, that's all weekend at the farm in Eureka Springs. Let's move on to Friday. Stage 18 is going to have a folk show featuring Jamie Lou Connolly and then Dave Dersham.
His toes and his clothes are long. They got their own thread. They got their own particular song. Well, he's quite an athlete despite the expanse of his feet.
He is a contemporary folk artist from Western Massachusetts. Should be a good show. That has an $8 cover and will run from about 8 to 11 p.m. again at Stage 18 in Fayetteville. Also happening in Fayetteville Friday night, Amy Helm returns to Georgia's.
That'll be a good show.
She's got a new album out, and she's actually got a really good cover of the Milk Carton Kids, Michigan, on there. Check it out after we get out of here. Really good. That Amy Helm show at Georgia's will cost you $20 in advance, $25 the day of, and it's expected to last from about 8 to 11:30 p.m.
All right.
Still in Fayetteville Friday night, guy by the name of Mark Gibson will be at Dixon Street Pub.
From your sad and lonely life, the things we do in the name of pride. And I said, I won't you let me.
He's originally a Tulsan, but now he's from the Cincinnati area. He plays kind of a soul, blues, rock, singer-songwritery mix there.
And that'll be the Dixon Street Pub. Those are generally free shows.
And from what I can tell, that is the case this time as well.
Right.
Should be from about 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. Friday night. Still in Fayetteville Friday night, Smoke and Barrel Tavern is going to have a rock and roll show. Lee Baines III and the Glory Fires are in Birmingham, Alabama rock band. And
I love the name Glory Fires.
They are definitely your typical Southern rock band. That show at Smoke and Barrel has a $7 cover, and it's from about 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. is what they're expecting. Moving up the road to Springdale, the Vine Brothers will be at Black Apple Crossing.
They sounded so good with Antoinette and the Furman Garner Performance Studio last week.
The Vine Brothers never disappoint.
That's true.
And that show, as far as I can tell, is a free show in Springdale from 8 to 10 p.m.
Black Apple Crossing, and they've got, I don't know if you can still call it the new expanded space, but
I mean, it's within 6 months, I would say.
And so a lot more folks can get in there.
Yeah, and it's just a really good atmosphere. Moving on to Saturday, Backspace in Fayetteville is going to have a doom sludge metal show featuring Bones of the Earth, Groaners, and Dead Bird. Dead Bird, they dubbed themselves heavy blues black punk metal, which I feel is pretty appropriate if you listen to their music. That show has a $5 cover at the door. Doors are at 9. Show will start sometime after that. Again, a Backspace in Fayetteville. Still in Fayetteville Saturday night, George's Majestic Lounge is going to have an alt-country red dirt artist by the name of John Bauman.
Okay.
Really, I want to play guitar and sing. And make the people stomp the floor. I want to ride the best of the best and be a high plains troubadour. You bought a beat up Takamine for me.
That show, tickets for it are $10 in advance, $12 day of. Should be from about 8:30 p.m. to about 12:30 a.m. at George's. Still in Fayetteville Saturday night, band that I've talked about before, but they bear repeating, Big Red Flag, is back in town.
The stiff wind blow, let the thunder roll, and send a driving rain. I will still be hanging on the last monkey swinging on that chain. Whoo, last monkey swinging on a chain. Last monkey.
They're a Central Arkansas-based band that plays ragtime gypsy grass music.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be joined by another Central Arkansas band, Raging Folkaholics.
Raging Folkaholics. I love that name too.
That show is from about 9 p.m. to midnight in Fayetteville. One more show in Fayetteville Saturday night. Nate Hancock returns to Fayetteville. He'll be at Nomad's Music Lounge. He's been on a bit of a world tour the past few months. He plays kind of soul, blues, rock with a little bit of hip-hop mixed in.
Impression to make, everything I give, I'm prepared to take. I keep praying to God, give me strength. Help me choose when I can't see and I can't look. In the mirror till I find myself, my vision's getting clearer. And I've got to find my reflection.
That is a all-ages show beginning at 8 o'clock at Nomads.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah. And then finally Saturday night, Bike Rack Brewing Company in Bentonville at the 8th Street location, they'll restart the Brew Room Session series for this season. And this concert will feature Micah Bournes and a band called Trees and Houses. Micah, he mixes poetry and hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trees and Houses, they're a Fayetteville-based acoustic, folk, and live art duo.
Live art, like art will be created
as
music.
Yeah, like live painting.
Okay, all right.
That show has a $10 cover, and it's from 7 to 9 p.m., again, at Bike Rack Brewing Company on 8th Street in Bentonville. Then skipping ahead to Tuesday, the next On the Map show will be at George's in Fayetteville, featuring Terminus, Photocrime, and Russian Circles. Russian Circles, they're a Chicago-based instrumental rock band. Kind of think L1011, but a little bit heavier.
A little bit heavier, yeah.
That show will cost you $15 in advance, $17 day of, and it's expected to go from about 8:30 in the evening to about midnight.
All right. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you, Kyle.
Hi, I am Smitha Karthik, and I am a board member with Rave Foundation, Cultural Foundation, and we are a nonprofit who are trying to bring a little more Indian music to the Northwest Arkansas region.
Hi, I'm Sri Vidya Venkatasubramania, and yes, that's my full name. And I am the founder president of Rave Cultural Foundation.
Last week, Smitha, who lives in Fayetteville, and Srividya, who lives in Bentonville, were in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about an upcoming concert at The Record in downtown Bentonville. It'll be Saturday from 4 to 7. The concert will bring together a pair of styles of Indian classical violin. This concert, presented by the Rave Cultural Foundation, is intended for people already familiar with Indian classical music and those who are simply curious. The concert is a continuation of a one-time annual event celebrating Indian music and dance that took place in Northwest Arkansas.
There are a lot of events that the Indian community puts together every year for different festivals or for different whatever celebrations. But there wasn't any platform for classical music and dance, given that India has such a strong and long history, tradition of classical music and dance, and performing arts in general. And so we started a once-a-year event just to bring everybody together and, you know, have a performance and watch some good quality performances. Because the other part of it was also, there was a lot of this attitude in the community that you can just get on stage and just do whatever, you know. And we wanted to kind of bring that forward, that no, you know, it takes many years of learning and practice and dedication to perform on stage. So we wanted to bring both those things, you know, to the community and children. I am very passionate about dance. Even as a kid, I was constantly in front of the TV or, you know, luckily my parents, my grandma, they all used to go attend these what we call kacheris, you know, concerts. Back home concerts and dance performances and all that stuff. And I used to go with them, and that used to be like, I mean, I would come home and I would try to, you know, imitate the dancer or the artist, whoever. So it was, I was very passionate about it all my life. I learned dance when I was a kid. So when I came here and I saw all these kids learning, I wanted my children to learn. And, you know, in a place like Bentonville, I was just hoping that, you know, we would have enough teachers and, you know, people to support that.
Frankly, I think it's, we are all a group of music enthusiasts, music and performing arts in general. And each one of us feels passionately that the kids in the community, you know, they need the proper avenue to showcase their talents. And there are bits and pieces, there are events which are not very classical in nature, not purely classical in nature. So we wanted something that we can have, we can create a platform on a regular basis. Kids tend to learn better. We've noticed from our own children that they tend to learn better when they have a deadline and they know that they're preparing for a concert. And pretty much that's what we wanted to give them. You know that you have a performance coming up every once in a few months. It's often not the same kids, but yes, you want to perform. And so you want to practice. So you have an end goal at, you know, in mind, and you work towards that. That is pretty much what we wanted to give them to begin with for the students who are learning. And the second part of what we want to give them is an experience of what it's like for a person who has practiced so many years and who is a performer. Listen to concerts. We're a very small area. We're growing, though. So we want to bring in the best talents that we can from whether it is performers who are coming to Dallas or to St. Louis. We want to bring those talents here so they get to be an audience. It's as important to be an audience, you know, before you grow to becoming a performing artist.
That's the motivation, I guess, you know, to make it more popular, to get more people interested and involved and bring different audiences. Bring different performers, you know, who will appeal to different audiences and so on. And one thing we are particular about in Rave is to bring very traditional performances as much as possible. Yeah, because I think there are many places where all these fusion and very contemporary, so-called contemporary outlook, which is nothing but a westernized version of, you know, a very traditional art form. These opportunities are quite common nowadays in a lot of other bigger cities and places. So we kind of want to still stand out a little and bring in some very traditional performances. We don't want to just get into this fusion
right.
stuff too much.
And we noticed that a lot of people have an idea that Indian music is Bollywood, which is something which is, well, it is Bollywood music or so-called Indian music, the movie music, film industry music, that is part of Indian music, but it has its core in classical music. And there are numerous classical music enthusiasts in our region. I think that we finally have a good knowledge base here for us to introduce Indian classical music, the core of Indian classical music, that people enough people will appreciate it.
We're kind of talking here the thin line between advantage and maybe frustration, because a lot of us in this country, in this region, when we think classical music, we think of European, white men, you know, and so where is that thin line for you when here's the advantage, because you're going to be able to share something that a lot of people are unfamiliar with, but at the same time, a little bit of frustration, like, why don't you know more about
exactly.
this?
Exactly.
It is, but I think that's, you can't blame the audience here too, because, again, as I said, it's small enough, you know, the Indian community is small enough, it has been, that we didn't have enough opportunities to bring talent from bigger cities. There are enough people who are touring, you know, bigger cities. That's what we want to do. We want to bring those talents so people are exposed to other forms of classical music and dance, for that matter, any performing art. And we've noticed, like, Walton Arts Center has had a couple of events in the past few years, and it's had very good reception.
Is there also the danger that those of us who are not really familiar with India or Indian culture can just put it all together? I mean, I don't know how many different cultures and how many different languages are in India. To just say something is, well, that's Indian music, seems to be a pretty broad brush.
It is a very broad brush. And like, even if you take classical music, for example, we have two different schools of classical music. One is called Hindustani and the other is called Carnatic. So if you listen to the two, they sound very different. But for a lot of us, we can tell the difference and we can tell the similarities also.
So this is going to be a violin and viola concert. Typically, Indian music has more of violin. Violin is an accompaniment or as a main instrument that they play. So accompaniment, we have, you know, we have one percussionist the instrument is called mridangam. And in this concert, because it's a two-string concert, we have two percussionists. One is going to be playing the mridangam, which is like almost like a drum. It is a drum. Technicality of mridangam.
Generally, like in the Western drums, you play them from the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a tabla. I'm sure you've seen a tabla.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
you play a tabla also from the top. Whereas a mridangam, you play from the two sides. So it's like a cylindrical instrument, which you play from the two sides. Yeah, and the other one is, I think, a kanjira.
Kanjira, which is like almost like a... It's held in your hand and palm, and it's, well, made of...
Is it like a tambourine? Is that what you would...
Similar to a tambourine.
Like a tambourine.
Yeah.
But without the bells and stuff, you know, it's just like a disc that you play holding in one hand and with the other one.
If anyone is a music enthusiast, they like to listen to violin or viola, they should come experience this, because it is definitely going to be a very fulfilling experience. That much I can tell you. Because the violinist who's going to be the main artist who's going to be playing, he is world-renowned. And
what is his name?
Sri Vittal Ramamurthy. And
And V.V.S. Murari. They're all...
Both of them together,
all of them, actually, who are coming, they are at the top of their fields. Like, they are one of the best you can ever find.
Concert titled Mellifluous Musings is Saturday from 4 until 7 at Record Downtown in Bentonville. You can find out much more information at Facebook/RAVE Cultural Foundation. This is Ozarks at Large.
The Arkansas Alumni Association will host the 74th Alumni Awards Celebration October 19th at the Fayetteville Town Center. This signature event features a cocktail reception, plated dinner, and awards program. More information at 575-2292 or online, arkansasalumni.org/awards2018. The 21st Annual Pink Ribbon Luncheon will take place October 24th at the Northwest Arkansas Convention Center in Springdale. Doors open at 10:45 a.m. with lunch at 11:30. Lunch, silent auction, and Survivor fashion show will be included in this special event. Proceeds benefit Susan G. Komen Ozark, komenozark.org, or 750-PINK for more.
Flu season is approaching. After a particularly brutal season in Arkansas last year, universities are taking steps to try to avoid a major outbreak this year. Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media visited one mass flu shot clinic in Jonesboro and has this report.
Hey there. You got number, what's your number?
F28.
Perfect. Right back there to the back.
On a recent morning, students and others stream into the Red Wolf Center at Arkansas State University at a rate of about 100 people an hour to get flu shots. Stephen Holmquist just got his.
I've had years where I didn't get the flu shot and got the flu, and it's pretty miserable to give up 3 minutes of my time to keep myself and others from getting the flu. It's definitely worth it.
At the nearby NYIT College of Osteopathic Medicine at A-State, Dr. Brooke Laurent calls it forward-thinking to offer free and convenient flu shots in the middle of campus. She says college students tend to live, study, and eat in close quarters, and that puts them at risk.
Even if you're young and healthy and your immune system is great, you should definitely be getting your flu shot to prevent you getting the flu virus and spreading the disease as well.
But college students have traditionally had low vaccination rates. Dr. Lisa Ipp with the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases conducted an extensive survey recently to find out why.
The most common reason we found that college students didn't get the flu shot was that simply they felt as though they were healthy and didn't need it. That was followed by, I don't like needles, followed by, I don't think it works. And the fourth was, I worry about risks. In fact, about a third of students thought that they would get the flu from the vaccine.
Dr. Ipp says that isn't true. The flu shot cannot give you the flu. Her survey found that college students are very receptive to incentives and more likely to get a flu shot when even a small gift is offered, like a coupon for free coffee. The survey also looked into who influences a college student's decision to get a flu shot.
I guess not surprisingly, parents, even if their children are off at college and dorming, still are a very main driver in their son or daughter's health. So they go to their parents for recommendations, and certainly healthcare practitioners remain a driving force as well.
At the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, there was a flu outbreak on campus 2 years ago. It wasn't as bad last year, even when the state as a whole had a rough year with the flu. Zach Brown in the communications office at the Pat Walker Health Center says they'll be looking for continued success this year with both appointments and mass clinics for flu shots. They'll also focus on educational efforts.
So things like that include, you know, covering your mouth when you cough, using a tissue when you sneeze, disinfecting frequently touched surfaces, not sharing food and drinks, avoiding those who are already sick with the flu virus. So we're really just trying to do our part to make sure that students are aware of all the different things they can do to help protect themselves during flu season.
Anybody need any supplies?
Back at the Red Wolf Center, A-State student Cadence Rutherford hasn't had the flu before, but she's taking precautions.
Because I'm not fixing to start having the flu my freshman year of college as a chemistry major. I don't have time for the flu.
In Jonesboro, I'm Ann Kenda with Arkansas Public Media.
Support for Arkansas Public Media comes from Hot Springs Village. Those looking for a place filled with arts, culture, dining, and entertainment can find it at Hot Springs Village, where visitors can golf, boat, hike, and play all day. More information is available at explorethevillage.com. And from Simmons Bank, with more than 90 community-based locations in Arkansas providing banking and lending services. More information is available at SimmonsBank.com. Simmons Bank. Dreams realized.
A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media, this is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Alma. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. Contributors to today's show include Antoinette Grajeda, Jacqueline Froelich, Timothy Dennis, and Ann Kenda. Today's show was mastered by Timothy. Our theme is written and performed by Daryl Sean. Daryl, by the way, has a brand new song out called The Monsoon Replied. You can find out more at DarylSean.com or at his Facebook and YouTube pages. Thanks for including us in part of your Wednesday. We're back tomorrow at noon and 7 with a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. You can find out more about us at OzarksAtLarge.com. You can subscribe to us as a free podcast through services like iTunes and Stitcher. We will end our show with music from the Squarshers. It was recorded for us inside the Carver Center for Public Radio. The Squarshers are part of the annual Hillbilly Harvest Moon Festival taking place in Eureka Springs this weekend. You can find out more about the festival at hillbillyfestival.com. You can find out more about the Squarshers at the Squarshers, remember that R, thesquarshers.com or the band's Facebook page. These are the Squarshers recorded here at the Carver Center for Public Radio performing the song My Darlin's Garden.
If it comes from your garden, darling, I'll eat it. You better believe it. Cause when you found me, I was hard up and starving. No treatments. What I was needing was I was barely breathing. Yes, you tilled it up and down. Now this garden, it ain't mine at all. And now this garden, it ain't mine at all. What if it comes from the garden, darling? I'll eat it, you better believe it. Cause when you found me, I was all up and starving. Your treatment is what I was needing. Cause I was barely breathing. Starving, your treatment is what I was needing.